I want to tell you what we're doing today. Up on the screen right here is my cell phone number in white letters so you can't read it. Hold on. There it is. Wait. Oh, there it is. Okay. This is my cell phone number. And the reason I'm giving you my cell phone number on these big screens is because we're going to be talking about something today. And if at any point you're like, gosh, I have a question about this, or I want to say something, or you have an idea or anything like that, I want you to go ahead and text me that question. And at the end of the message, we're going to go ahead and we're going to look at some of those questions, and we'll kind of go through and figure out what they were. We're going to answer some of them. Now, we won't get to all of them, but I promise that if you text me a question, I will answer it this week. I'll get back to you this week, okay? So this is my cell phone. It's going to stay up there for most of while I'm talking. And if at any time you're like, oh, what about this? Just text it up there, okay? You got it? All right, good. Let's go ahead. Before we get started, we're just going to pray. We're going to ask that God would settle our hearts and focus on Him. Deal? Father God, I thank you so much that you care about all of us, that even as individuals, you care about all different parts of us. You care about us like fun, and you care about people, and you care about how we feel and our emotions, and you also care about our heart and our spirit. Father, and I just ask that you would come into this place, that you would allow us to hear you speak, and if I am at all a distraction from the process, God, I just ask you to remove me from the occasion, that you would be the one that love each one of us. You're fully invested. Amen. All right. So today we're actually going to be talking about loving recklessly. Loving recklessly. So to kick it off, I've got this video for you. It's actually a news clip, but I think that it totally will speak to many of you in this room. So here it is.
Now, our Friday Making a Difference report. Growing up can be tough, and too many young people are struggling with depression, addiction, even thoughts of suicide. And perhaps the biggest obstacle, the feeling of being in it all alone. NBC's Savannah Guthrie has a story of one young man who found a way to break through that isolation by making a connection online.
And I asked what she'd say if her story had an audience.
The story starts with a story.
Renee is 19. When I meet her, cocaine is fresh in her system. She hasn't slept in 36 hours.
2 years ago, Renee Yohe was addicted to drugs and was cutting herself, the scars still visible beneath her colorful tattoos. With open wounds on her arms, no treatment facility would accept her.
I was too great a risk. They didn't think that, they didn't even know if I would make it through detox.
So for 5 days until she could get treatment, Jamie Tworkowski and a group of friends kept Renee sober and safe.
Take a broken girl, treat her like a famous princess. Tell her something true when all she's known are lies.
Jamie wrote a 2-page story about Renee and posted it on the social networking site MySpace. Remembering her scars, he called it "To Write Love on Her Arms" and printed the unusual slogan on t-shirts to raise money for her treatment.
Then something unexpected happened. Thousands of young adults found the page and wrote about their own struggles with depression and isolation, and an online community was born.
The site now has more than 200,000 members.
We had kind of stumbled upon a conversation that felt really significant, maybe one that represented people everywhere.
The group posts blogs, answers thousands of emails, and connects members to suicide, depression, and drug treatment centers. Experts say the site works because it meets young people where they are, online.
The most important thing about To Write Love on Our Arms, being able to reach out to this particular community, is there may be no other way to reach these young people.
The group has also sought out young adults beyond the online world, telling Renee's story at rock concerts and finding it resonates.
Maybe we're more loved than we'll ever know. Maybe we're part of a bigger story, that we're part of a redemption story and a love story.
Even if it helped one person, then it was worth everything to me.
One person's story of recovery that has helped many more. Savannah Guthrie, NBC News, Washington.
How many of you know somebody, or maybe it is yourself, who has been so hurt by something or so impacted by something that sometimes it feels like you are completely alone You have no one, and sometimes it's even hard to get out of bed or hard to move. Does anybody know someone like that or has experienced that themselves? Okay, good. So that's most of the people in this room. Now, how many of you would do anything for that person so that they would know how truly loved they were? Or you would like somebody to do that for you? All right, awesome. Hands down. I love this story of To Write Love on Her Arms. Because when he talks about it, I love the way that they just said, we took this girl. She had cocaine in her blood. She had open cuts on her arms. And they took her and they just loved on her. They loved on her recklessly until she was in detox. Right? And it's this incredible story where they believed that love was the thing that was going to make a complete difference. Love was going to change everything in this girl's life. I know that this is sweet. I went into work on Monday morning, and there was a message for me on my desk, and it was about the eighth grade boy from a friend day middle school who had committed suicide the night before. He had hung himself in a tree on school grounds. And I don't know why that happened. I don't know why he chose to do that. But for whatever reason, he was experiencing that same sort of longing, loneliness, depression of, I can't even go on. I can't even do this because this is too hard. Now, if I had known that boy, if I had known where he was at, I would have loved the challenge to have loved him recklessly. Wrapped my arms around him. And he saw me. There's something bigger than this. We are part of redemption. There's love out there that has to love you. I love the way that they described it. That you take a broken girl, you treat her like a famous princess, you tell her truth when all she's known is lies. Now, how many of you believe that that's the sort of thing that can change something around? That if you were to love someone recklessly, good, okay, good. So we're all on the same page. We all kind of buy into that idea. Now, a lot of times when we talk about love, see, the problem is that when we talk about love, we think of it as like, hey, good, I loved her. I smiled, I shook her hand, I didn't really introduce her, my name to her because I didn't want her to creep on me on Facebook, so, but I smiled and that's good enough. Our love sometimes that we love with is completely limited. We do it in kind of the safe way, but reckless love is very different. I need a guy who can throw some punches and a guy who can take them. Who's it? No guys. Okay, all right, one and two. Come on up. Come on up. I need your help. Are you the taking punches or the throwing punches? Throwing punches, so you're going to have to take it. All right, so this is what we're going to do. Name? KJ and Will. KJ and Will, we're going to give you a demonstration of what reckless love is. You are going to hug him. You are going to punch him and keep him away from you. Are you ready? Set? Go! All right, can you give them some love for helping out? Thank you, guys. Thank you. Okay, last service, I just have to tell you. We got this little girl up here. She was like this big, and I was like, can you be ferocious? And she's like, I mean, seriously, like, 72 pounds soaking wet. And she's like, ah, it was super funny. She did a great job. But anyways, so that is a picture of what reckless love is. It's this love that even if you're hurting me, even if you are punching me, even if you're doing whatever, I am going to grab you and I'm going to love you anyways. It has no, it doesn't pay attention to the risk of self. It just goes after that thing and it loves on it. Now, how many of you have a friend, put your finger on your nose, if you have a friend that you really love, all right? How many of you would still be friends with them if they stole your boyfriend or girlfriend, and then they kicked your dog, and then they punched you in your face, and then they spread a bunch of rumors about you around school? Yeah, rumors cut it off, right? Okay, so very few of us would continue to love that person. We got a couple people around the room that are like, I'm still faithful, right? We got a couple people that are around the room that are still faithful, but most of us would be like, if they punch me in the face, I'm done. I'm done. Now, there's some good news. That although we love with this completely limited love, that if I get hurt, I'm going to stop loving, God loves us with a love that is completely reckless. And if you were to go and you were to go up to God and you were to punch him in the gut, he would still say, I love you. I want to be with you. And that is the gospel. That's the good news. Remember how last week we talked about how the word gospel meant? Good news. Say it with me again. Gospel means? Right. This is the gospel. And this is my whole point for today. God loves you with a reckless love. That even if you were to go up to God and you were to punch him in the face, he would still say, no, I love you. And I know this is true. We've each and every one of us has punched God in the face. Not only long ago, but recently. And I'll tell you about long ago and then we'll talk about recently. But long ago, you punched God in the face because the first two people that ever lived were named Adam and Eve. And God set Adam and Eve up. He hooked him up in the perfect garden. And he said, in this place, you can do whatever you want. You can like go sailing. You can milk cows. You can play Xbox Live for the rest of your life. Just invent it and then you're good to go. He said, you can do whatever you want in this garden except one thing. I just don't want you to eat this fruit from this tree. Like a little simple thing. Don't eat the fruit from this tree. Now, between you and me, I don't even understand why they were hanging out by this tree. Because the two of them are in a garden. They're the only two people that exist. They're naked. And from what we understand, they're in love. Why are they, you know what I'm saying? Why are they not? Right? Exactly. Exactly. So what are they doing hanging out by this tree, having this conversation? But they do. They hang out by the tree and they're having this conversation. We should eat it. No, God told me not to. He didn't really say that. All right, lie. Let's eat the fruit. God gave them everything they could possibly want. And then they go and do the one thing he asked them not to do. Punch right in the face. Now, that was a long time ago, and some of you are thinking, yeah, but that wasn't me. I don't punch God in the face. Well, let's change the scenario a little bit. I'm pretty sure that each one of us, because I know I can think of something that happened just this week where you're thinking, I know that that's kind of what God says is best for me. I know that that's kind of what God's asked me to do, but I think I have a better plan. I think I'm going to do something completely different than that. And we go and we do whatever it is that we do. That is when we have this moment, face-to-face encounter with God, that feeling inside of our gut that says, like, hey, you should be doing this other thing, or you shouldn't be doing this other thing. And it's this gut reaction. We're face-to-face with God, and when we choose the opposite, it is a sucker punch to the gut. Right? And God says, I still love you. He says this over and over and over again. What I want you to do is I want you to open your Bibles, and we're going to look at just three of these passages where he says this. The first one is Romans. In the book of Romans, we're going to go to chapter 5. If you open to the middle of your Bible, and then you keep going that direction past Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans is that one right there. So Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. You can do it, and I'll just start reading. We're going to read another one in... just a second. In Romans 2, so hang out there. So Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That word sinners, it's talking about that very thing, that very concept of punching God in the face. That while we were still punching him, he said, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die for you. I love you. Then there's another one, John 3:16. You don't have to turn there because I bet we can quote it. Can we all do it together? John 3:16. For God, that he gave his only son, that who should ever believe in him should not die, but have everlasting life. Right? That whole verse is about God still loves you. He still loves you. And then there's another one. Turn in your Bibles a little bit further to Romans 8:38. This is talking about how extravagant, just how reckless his love is. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing in all of creation can separate us. That means that nothing that Bethany does or doesn't do can separate her from God's love. That means that nothing that Jake does or doesn't do can separate him from God's love. Now, this is huge because this spans all sorts of things. If you go out and you kill somebody, God still recklessly loves you. If you go out and you sleep with your boyfriend or girlfriend, he doesn't care. He wants something better for you, but he still recklessly loves you. If you decide that you want to live a life of partying and going out and getting high, he's like, I'm going to love you anyways. I still love you. If you decide that you want to cut yourself and somebody knows about that and they're trying to get you help and you're refusing, God is saying, I still love you. I still love you. I would still die for you. I'm still here for you. Nothing you can do can separate you from the love that God has for you. That is what reckless love looks like. See, we talked about it in that video passage. The guy was saying that if you take a broken girl and treat her like royalty, remember that? And we all said, yeah, if you did that, that would change something. God is doing that to each one of you every single day. He's been doing that for you since the beginning of time. And he's like, if you would just open your eyes and see that I'm taking each one of you, I'm treating you like famous royalty. I'm telling you truth when all you've ever known is a lie. And he's trying to get through to you that he loves you. You can throw as many punches as you want, and he still loves you. So my main point today is that God loves you recklessly. Now, you can love others recklessly. So sometimes when we try to go out and we try to love each other, we try to be nice to each other, we can't do it in our own strength because we don't first know that God loves us. But when you become loved so much the way that Renee was loved, like she couldn't help but tell her story. She couldn't help but help others and love them recklessly. If we're not loving others recklessly, it's probably because we don't really get the amount of reckless love that has been lavished on us by our Savior. Now, it's hard for me to tell you about these things because I know that while your parents really, really want you to hear about God's reckless love for you, they don't really want you to know about the reckless love that you are supposed to have for others. And it's not their fault. It's just that they love you and they want you to stay safe. They want you to be happy. And sometimes when you recklessly love other people, you can get hurt in the process. So it's kind of like this, you know, like I think of that story, the To Write Love on Your Arm story. And I think like Jamie, that guy, do you think his parents wanted him to have a crack cocaine addict in his house for 5 days? No. But he said, no, I want to love her recklessly, right? Okay, so this same exact thing happened to me when we were in Hollywood. I took a group of students to Skid Row. We went to Hollywood. We served the homeless for a week. And this thing happened where we talked about reckless love, but I'm hearing everybody talk about love recklessly, love these people recklessly, but then I'm also speaking out of my mouth, the other side of my mouth saying, okay, but don't give them your phone number. Don't tell them your last name. Try not to get too close to them. Don't touch them. And make sure you keep like your hands in your pockets at all times because you don't want them to steal anything from you. Right? And these two different stories of like love recklessly, but don't do anything too dangerous. And I realized that these completely contradicted each other. You can't stay safe if you're trying to love recklessly. And so I went to one of my other friends who's a youth pastor and I said, well, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't know what to tell my kids anymore. And they were like, you can tell them what I tell my kids. What? He said, I tell them that they need to do what God has told them to do. And if they have a short life, at least they knew that that's what God had called them to do. And it was just kind of this total shift of ideas of like, shoot. Like, Sean, you may die following God's will. You might get hurt, James. Like, that's just this reality of loving recklessly. It doesn't stay safe, and it doesn't always have a happy ending. but at least we did what God called us to do. Now, you will never get to that place of loving someone else recklessly unless you first allow God to love you completely recklessly, unless you put yourself in that position to understand what God's doing for you. I want to open up the floor to some questions now. If you guys don't have a cell phone and you have a question but you didn't text it, just raise your hand at any point and we'll get to it. So let's look at our first question. You're welcome to the lollipop. How am I supposed to love someone who refuses to listen? And I would love to open all these questions up to the experts in the room, which is all of you. We all come to the table with different experience. And if you have, like, I know that one, like, just shoot your hand up and let's hear it. Yeah. So Austin says, keep pursuing them and keep loving them, and eventually they'll open their eyes. Sarah. I love the way you put that, that if you love them, you wouldn't care if they listen. You just keep loving them, keep telling them. Yeah, I think those are great answers. And again, going back to this idea that you're not responsible for that person doing what you've said. You're just responsible for loving them, that maybe just telling them what's going on. Let's go to the next one. If they, Adam and Eve, didn't eat the fruit, would we have no sin? This is a great question. Who has an answer for it? Yeah. No one wouldn't have any sin. Okay, great. Any other ideas? Somewhere along the line, we would have messed up. My thought about this is if they didn't eat the apple, my 2-year-old daughter would have. So I know that. So I think at some point that would have happened. But yeah, story-wise, that's true, that if nobody had ever eaten the apple, we'd still be living in paradise. Let's go to the next one. How can you listen to God's word of love when people treat you badly? How can you listen to God's word of love when people treat you badly? I'm assuming that this question is coming from a place of like, when everybody else is saying you suck, how can you listen that God says he loves you? Does everybody else read it that way? Okay. What do you guys think? If everybody else around you is putting you down, how are you supposed to ever hear God's word of love? Yeah, Elena. Can you say it louder? Okay. She said that God's word is love, and you just have to try to not care and love them anyways. Yeah. I think that you kind of do have to develop a little bit of thick skin if you're going to try to love others. Yeah, Jesse. Okay, so focusing on the people who treat you well and not badly. Yeah. I think that for me, this question is a lot about how do I receive God's love when everything else around me says I'm not worth it. Dave? Oh, well, we're done. Okay. I think the thing that's really different here is that, you know, it's true. Oh, yeah, Dave. Does that make sense, guys? I think the other part of this is that you've got to think about percentages, and we're not going to talk about math, but if the only time you're hearing God's word of love is 1 hour on Sunday morning, and then you have 264 hours of everybody throwing insults at you and treating you poorly, who are you going to listen to? The insults and the treating you badly. I think that part of this, I mean, I don't mean to say like, well, you got to read your Bible, you got to pray, you got to spend time with God, but you do. If you want the word of God's love to be washed over you and for you to really ingest that and take that and that to be part of who you are, you've got to be in it more often, or at least mindful of it more often than you're mindful of the 265 hours when someone's, you live in a crappy world. You got to take time out to pay attention to who it is that God is and how it is that he's loving you. It's really, really easy to ignore the fact that he's treating you like royalty and that he's telling you the truth. Super easy to ignore that. And you've got to take some time to be able to pay attention to that and listen to that. We're going to run out of time for the other questions, but don't worry. I will get back to you guys on those things, and we'll have a team that'll be shooting you back emails for all those. But What I want to do now is I actually wanted to offer you guys an opportunity. And I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for two things. I want to pray for, first, a group of people who feel like I have never experienced God's reckless love before, and I want to. So if you're in that category and you're thinking, I don't really understand God's reckless love, I don't know what that means, but gosh, I want it. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Group two, if you're like, no, I get God's reckless love, but what I don't get is I don't understand yet how to love others recklessly. I haven't figured that out. I'm really excited about that, but I don't really know what to do. I want to pray for you. So group one, if you want to experience God's reckless love. Group two, if you want to start to love others recklessly. Those are the two groups of people I want to pray for. And what I'm going to do, and I hope that you can be courageous enough to do this, because this can be a scary thing, although I hope this is a safe place, is I want, if you fall in either one of those categories, I want you to stand so I can pray for you. Can you do that? All right, on three. One, two, three, go. Okay. Awesome. That is so cool to see this many people standing up because they either want to experience God's reckless love or because they want to love others recklessly. This is what changes a community and schools and people. So since it's just about everybody who's standing, what I want you to do, and you can do this if you're still sitting and that's fine. If there are a group of you, you know each other, if you want to huddle around, we're going to pray for each other. So huddle around a group that you know, pray for each other, be with each other. Even if you're sitting down, if you want to join a group and pray for those people, that's fine. If you are courageous enough and you put deodorant on this morning, if you want to reach out and just put your hands on somebody else, and it's our way of saying, I support you, I am with you, and God is with you too. Let's go ahead. I'm going to start that prayer, and then I'm going to have you guys all pray for each other out loud together when I count to three. In the middle of my prayer, I'll count to three. That's your opportunity to pray out loud all together. And if we all do it on three, nobody can hear what anybody's saying. Got it? All right. Let's pray. Father God, we are a group of people that acknowledge the fact that we feel empty sometimes and we feel alone. Father God, I pray particularly for that eighth grader at a friend day. Father, would you comfort his family? But even now that in the students' hearts that feel that way today, or have felt that way in the past, Father, that you would just recklessly come into their life and love on them, no matter how many punches are thrown. Father God, I also ask that you would, for that other group of people that are interested in loving others recklessly, how amazing and how bold that they have the desire to stand up and say, I'm willing to take the punches because of the love that God has put in me. So, Father God, would you hear the prayers of our children this morning? One,